This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
It is time for our weekly Keeling Me Softly with the Denver Post's Sean Keeler. Sean, my friend, how are you? Always great to catch up with you.
I'm good, but a voice on the phone before you put me on just said, first, I'm playing the song you guys like, click, and it's terrible. Click.
Yeah, he's a.
Is that Micah? What are we doing here?
He's an awful person, Sean. That's all. I mean, what more can I say? I try to apologize to all of our guests, but that's all I can say. He's a terrible human.
He has terrible ears.
Yeah, he does. You should listen to some of the junkie.
You do not do Lauryn Hill like that on our
No!
Brother. You do not.
No. I'm sorry. I apologize in advance. I should have apologized in advance, but I'm apologizing now. And so,
I'm glad to be here regardless, my friend. What's up?
Well, you know, there's a lot. I mean, we got so many things to talk about. Big weekend last weekend, Sean. Obviously, and I want to get into the World Cup bid, too. I want to talk about that because I know you put a story out about that. But I thought the last weekend was like survival weekend for a lot of... Not that Coach Prime was going anywhere, but if they want to make anything of the season, they needed to win.
You just got darker than me. On that survival theme right there.
Sure. But
he's going anywhere. His body's falling apart, but he was survival
weekend.
Well,
I'm hoping for the best, obviously, but that was probably poorly said, sure. But still, you get it.
I get it.
Jay Norvell, certainly in survival mode. They beat Fresno State, somehow looked amazing in that game. And so, we had a lot of Wyoming. I know you don't push a lot on Wyoming, but that was crazy there, too. So it was a weird weekend. It was a positive weekend for most of the kind of area-ish teams that we follow.
I got a coworker's email on Saturday night that said, you know, if it wasn't for Air Force, it would be the greatest weekend in Colorado college football history.
Well, and Air Force still put up a million points, so at least when they're losing, it's fun to watch.
Right, which is a whole nother kettle of fish. And if Wyoming's not our problem, the Zoomies are really not our problem. But, yeah, he was good. And, you know, I'm happy for all parties involved. You know, I said this to someone I didn't see a Friday. If you were there, I apologize. But I was sitting at FOCO, and I said, you know what? I'm kind of tired of the fire Jay Norvell angle and the fire Jay Norvell pitchforks coming and bringing those out. Good to see him turn it around. And now, because I've followed you socially, I know you referenced this, I think, last night or this morning. I want to see him back it up. I think you found something, or at least you've flipped a switch. and the trick is kind of maintaining that, because I think – we finally saw, in a moment of desperation, the Colorado State team we thought we would see more of. Like, that's peak them. That's who they are. They were efficient. Rousseau was efficient. It was good in the red zone. They've got 3 to 4 running backs that are pretty good, and they lean on them. And no, it is not rock 'em, sock 'em, flying through the air, Air Raid Nevada football, but you had your forcing takeaways. You're doing all the stuff that they kind of did last year, right? Like it looked like last year. And I think, I don't know if it's what Rams fans want, because they were chirping last year about style points, but it's certainly closer to what you need.
Yeah, and I'm with you on this. I've been one that's certainly been really vocal on this show, social media too, about Jay Norvell and, hey, this ain't it. But I am with you. I'm tired of it. And that was – I picked Fresno State to win. Yeah. I picked Fresno State to cover. I thought they'd blow them out of the water. There is the part of me, though, it's like I'm on the teeter-totter right now. It could either be Fresno State is not as good as we thought. Everything went right for CSU because even bad teams have those days.
Or
Fresno State is a decent team, and CSU just that they just weren't doing what they should have been doing all year, I guess. But I think the Hawaii game will tell us a lot because I tell you, I think Hawaii is a really good football team.
Yeah, I think the truth is in the middle. If you looked at Fresno's 5-1, those five, they're not great. You know, again, we don't mean to dog on last year's Rams, but there was, you know, some of the comments people made about, boy, that's a schedule that's going to be hard not to win eight. And they did. That's kind of Fresno's slate. They got rolled by Kansas. So when they played anybody good or anybody with a pulse, they got run over even worse than the Rams did, relatively speaking. So yeah, I think you had a little of both. I think you had peak CSU, and like you said, those are hard to get every week. I used to have a theory about, like, I would call it like 3-6-3 with a college football season. You have three games where you play out of your mind. You're going to have three games where you just don't show up. You're just turds, basically, in stronger language than that. And yet six where you kind of are what you are. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, that's where you were. And I think we certainly got a peak, one of those three peaks, out of CSU last Saturday. And the question is, you know, do you need another one of those to beat a Wyoming? To beat Wyoming. So ahead of the curve.
Well, Wyoming's ahead of the curve, too. They're posting out their uniforms that they're going to be wearing for that game. They got Air Force
that's
first.
Coming. No, we're getting to the border war. It's coming. But in the case of Hawaii, that a team that's on paper is kind of like a better throwing version of Fresno, I wasn't impressed with Fresno's passing game, like, at all. And I met Kurt Warner. I used to cover Kurt Warner in his Des Moines days and know people who know him well. Son of Kurt is not son of Dion. That's a very different QB.
Very different, yeah.
Unfortunately for them, but not unfortunate for CSU, who took advantage of that. They're going to get a better QB and a better passing attack to try to counter this week, and I'll be very curious if they can do it. But one good way to beat an explosive passing team is to never let them have the ball, and one good way to never let them have the ball is to run it down their throats.
And that's what I want to see. And, you know, I know, me on my little couch, it seems easy enough for me to throw out what I think they should do. But sometimes, Sean, we've been doing this a while. Sometimes it is obvious, and it's just you got three really good running backs. Run it more. Just run it more than you pass. That's all I ask.
Well, you got to play your strengths. And for all of the hits that he's taken this year, we gave him flowers for this last year. Jay Norvell lost his best player, who happened to be Torrey Harden, who, as we know, was and is really, really good. And he had to build, and I believe they lost the tight end there too, right, for a time to start the year. Still Warren, I think he's been out now twice.
Yeah.
For extended time, so they had to change what they were doing kind of on the fly, and they also had a really good offense. They had a really good offensive line last year, and they had a really experienced secondary and leaders in the secondary, and they played to that, and they got on a win streak, and they got to a bowl and did all the things that Rams fans have been asking for what feels like forever, including beating Air Force in Wyoming for the first time in together since, 2015? I think that's right. 2012? I'm going to get the date wrong.
No, I think you're right, yeah.
I think it was a decade. So you finally get all those things, and to some degree it still wasn't good enough, and that's a whole other discussion. But I think knowing to play to what you have is what good coaches do. And they say, well, Mike Leach does what he does. Yeah, but there was some adapting there, too. I think you have to be realistic about your roster because you want to build a roster for what you want to do, but the really good coaches then have the ability to adapt to a roster of what they have because of injuries and what have you, because those are going to happen. And CSU's injury report is just stupid long right now, and that's a whole other discussion, too.
Yeah, no, 100%. I mean, they've dealt with a lot, and I know it sounds like excuses sometimes, but sometimes you just have to tell the truth and say, well, without these certain players, they're definitely worse. Without one of their stud offensive linemen, without a couple of their stud defensive linemen, and as you mentioned, Jackson Warren, we all have high hopes for that dude. You're obviously not as good of a football team when those guys are down.
No, and I think there is, I don't know that it gives you a complete pass on whatever this season is going to be. And if there's a stinker next week. I'd like to think, if you're a Rams fan, I mentioned the 3-6-3 theory, that CSU has blown at least two of their turd games. You'd like to think, well, certainly UNC, no disrespect, and hey, props to Ed for getting big wins and doing what they're doing. But you'd have to think that was one of them, right? Again, five giveaways.
Yeah. No, it was bad.
That's a turd game. That game you didn't show up, and you still were able to escape. I'd like to think that maybe they're out of that, but gosh, I mean, in a way it's homecoming there. You got the hoop scrimmage at noon. You got a good vibe. Hopefully people coming back will be very curious what the crowd is, because we mentioned that was going to be a thing to watch, win or lose, but especially lose. Wasn't good. If homecoming is not good, you know, you play the Friday night, well, it's prep Friday night football in Colorado. You know, it's a national audience, you know, we're on a losing streak. It's kind of hard to build that back up. Well, if you got homecoming and you're coming off a pretty nice win, on a Saturday, early evening, late afternoon, I think that's going to be pretty telling too. And, we will see how Rams fans vote with their feet.
Sean Keeler joining us from the Denver Post. Sean, your latest column in the Denver Post, I'll read the headline, "Where Did Denver's World Cup 2026 Bid Go Wrong?" You kind of went into great detail there, so talk to us about that. This one's fascinating.
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate you bringing it up. And there's probably your standard Google search goes, well, why is the fat guy writing about this now? USMNT was in town last night, the men's national team. It's probably the last time we're going to see them. It's great that they were here. Not great that Pulisic got hurt. It was great listening to Pochettino try to explain going from Austin to Denver and how much he did not enjoy the change of climate and the change of altitude. But you know, he's not from here. He has to kind of figure this stuff out. But it's been kind of burning a hole as a soccer fan, full disclosure, and an international soccer fan. Of all the Keeler sins, I'm also a globalist, but I'm a global soccer fan. And it just kind of burns my backside that the Denver 2026 thing just kind of fizzled out, and I'm married to a Kansas Cityan, and she kind of ribs me all the time that her hometown is getting the World Cup next summer, and we're not. So I've been trying to reach out to people involved. Some got back, some didn't, as to what exactly happened, and it kind of comes down to the same three things, and four or five if you want to. There's all kinds of theories that were said because the soccer community in Denver, it's not Broncos country. It's not even, you know, Buff Nation or Rams Nation. But it's everybody's pretty tight and everybody talks. But the people on the committee, I was ready to kind of lay a hammer to them. And they're like, look, you do know that FIFA kind of changed the rules on us mid-flight, right? And I'm like, no, tell me what was on with this. And like, well, they give you a document where you are on the hook for any expenses on top of the initial bid, and they get all the profits and you don't. And a bunch of cities now, if you can kind of look this up, including Kansas City and Texas, and most certainly the two California sites, I think in the Bay and LA, are now having to go back to the state and the government for more money. And they're like, as you can imagine right now, going, no, we don't have it. And so they're going as high as, obviously, Donald Trump is a soccer fan, kind of paradoxically, and he has been really touting the heck out of this and is yelling at Boston and yelling about making it a political thing and saying we also have so much more money we can give to certain states, and a lot of blue states are getting these games, and that's become a tense thing. And so it's got all these layers, and the folks in the Denver committee are like, you know what? Given where we're at politically and financially as a state and as a country, we're kind of glad we don't have this. Now, I have a bunch of business owners who I know downtown who firmly disagree with that because they would have liked the traffic. And I think next June they're going to disagree with that. But that was kind of their story, and they really don't have any regrets, which surprised me, really. It really did.
Sean Keeler joining us, Denver Post. Yeah, no, this is a great read. I encourage you folks, if you're on that soccer side of things too, to check this out at the Denver Post. Hey, Sean, while I have you, We haven't done this in a while. You want to do rapid fire for me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anytime.
Rapid fire, Michael. Don't screw it up.
Rapid fire.
Hi, didn't screw it up. Good job. Sean, I've asked you this before. Jay Norvell, will he be the head coach of the Colorado State Rams next season?
No.
The Colorado Buffaloes, I mean, I don't think they're going to be...
That was a hesitant no.
No, that was good. That was good.
I'm still flipping a coin. Can you ask me after, like, if they're 4-4.
Okay. We'll reload it. The Buffaloes have... They're off this weekend. They have 5 games remaining. Will they get to a bowl game?
No.
The Denver Broncos over-under to start the season was 10.5. Will the Broncos win over that amount?
No.
I was reading this from the Denver Post about the Nuggets and David Adelman's maybe new philosophy on defense. They might want to be a little bit like OKC. Do you see a small hope or chance that the Nuggets have a defense that's aggressive like that?
Yes. But that's a yes, like my Norvell. No.
I love it.
Soft yes.
You passed the test, my friend. Well done.
Thank you.
You got him answered.
Those are the ones I had no doubt on. Those are easy.
Those are easy. That's when you know. That's when you know.
The last one. Yeah, I gotta see it. That's a magic eight ball. You gotta shake a few more times.
I like it, Sean. Always appreciate it, man. Love your stuff, as you know, and always love catching up with you every Wednesday.
Likewise, sir. Thank you.
Sean Keeler, Denver Post. He says no. He's hesitant to say no on Jay Norvell. Very, very positive that the Broncos are not going to win. They're not going to get to 11 wins.
I'm going to disagree with him on that.
I think they're going to get to 11 wins.
We'll both disagree with him on that.
I think they're going to beat the Giants. Picture on Friday, everybody knows that. I think they're going to beat the Cowboys. I think they're going to beat the Texans. I think they're going to beat the Raiders. I think October and then early November is going to be a very kind situation for the Broncos. What are they at right now? 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I think they'll be at 8 wins before they take on the Kansas City Chiefs on November 16th.
I think we're going to be calling it Bronctober.
Yeah, we might. Might do that. Might do that. 40 minutes after the hour, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.